I'm here backstage with Jonathan Leshnoff and Ricardo Morales. Ricardo, you're about to step on stage and give a world premiere of an important new work written just for you. Just tell me your first reaction when the orchestra first approached you about commissioning for this concert, and how did you take it from there?
Well, for me, it was a great, great honor. Obviously, it's something that doesn't happen every day, and it's something that it is absolutely historic, and it's a great opportunity for me and the selected composer to just add something new. Well, me for interpretation, but to find a person that would add something significant to the clarinet repertoire and to just bring the art forward. So it was a very exciting moment, and also one that had to be selected with care and enthusiasm.
Yes, it had to be a perfect match in a way. So what was it about Jonathan's music that drew you, and how did you first become familiar with his work?
Actually, the first time I heard his music was right here in the Philadelphia Orchestra. My colleague Jeffrey Kaner was doing the premiere of Jonathan's Flute Concerto. And I remember that I was not playing the piece. And, you know, I love Jeff's playing always. So the first rehearsal, I just had to go and I showed up to hear the piece. And it just started and my jaw dropped. I was like in awe of the beautiful music. And of course, he's playing, but I just was so moved. I got teary-eyed. It was really great. And, you know, I'm always an admirer and lover of all things Jeff. You know, I'm always like the opposite coin brother. You know, he's tall and handsome. I'm a little bit round and, well, not so handsome. You know? So, but I'm always like trying to copycat him, you know, in terms of phrasing and things like that. And when I heard that, I literally ran on stage after the at the break, and I just told him, oh, it's fantastic. I need one. I want one just like that. So it was a great pleasure. And actually, it was a very perfect time because Jonathan was there also. So I got to meet him then and we just took it from there.
Oh, that's a fantastic. And it is such a beautiful concerto. And we'll get more into your work a little bit later, Jonathan. But since Ricardo mentioned the Flute Concerto, I just wanted to say you've written a lot of concertos already. You have quite a lot in your catalog, 2 violin concertos, a cello concerto, a guitar concerto. Tell me how writing for clarinet and Ricardo in particular was different than writing for some of these other instruments.
Yes. In order to write a concerto, I have to become that instrument. Like when I write a symphony, the music goes through me right to the orchestra. But when I write a concerto, I have to go through me, through the soloist, and then through the orchestra. The clarinet's such a fantastic instrument because unlike the guitar or even the violin, which those instruments are outside the body and are connected by the fingers externally, the clarinet is connected by the breath. And that has something to do with the inner essence of the player being expressed right in the instrument. And that's why it's such an honor and wonderful opportunity, really a highlight in my life, to work with Ricardo, who is once in a generation clarinetist. The way that he phrases the long lyrical lines in the first movement, to me as the composer, is just stunning and wonderful.
So you were trying to highlight Ricardo's unique artistry with his breath work and his lyricism. Anything else?
Yes, those aspects on the slower lyrical side, but also his virtuosity on the second movement. He himself, even virtuoso Ricardo, will tell you himself, as the many cell phone calls I get, say, oh, you know, 625 measures of repeated notes might be a little bit too long. And I say, Ricardo, you could do it. He goes, all right, man, I'll try it.
Yes. It was always very fun. I would have to call, just trying to find permission to get a tacit measure here or there. And Jonathan was always just a coach. Come on, you can do it. And then it would just take me about 5 seconds. Yes, of course. Let's go.
So he gave you a few pep talks along the way.
And just courage, the courage to keep plowing through the work.
Sometimes that's all we need, a little courage.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you're having a mind-boggling season of important premieres. 2 symphonies, your second violin concerto, this clarinet concerto for Ricardo, and a big oratorio, which is being premiered by the Atlanta Symphony and taken to Carnegie Hall. Do you mind telling us a little bit about your creative process when you have so many commissions to fulfill and, frankly, big, long pieces to compose? Do you work on one after the other, or do you sometimes have two projects going at the same time, and do you get any sleep?
Well, these days I say, I don't have time for inspiration. Too many deadlines. No, that's a joke. It's very interesting because when these commissions started to come in, my first reaction was, it's impossible. No. But I realized that there was a higher force behind there, which really wanted to make me grow. Because when presented with these challenges, we always say, no, can't do it. But I learned that to suddenly become the music and really be courageous to say what I really want to say allowed the music to come forth. And certainly it was a tremendous amount of effort. There was a lot of sleep which should have been had and didn't. But it inspired in me, it showed me that I had lines and ideas that could come out and could come out with fluency if I just believed in myself. So the answer to your question is that all of these insurmountable challenges became possible when I realized that, yes, just believe in yourself and do it.
Along these lines, it almost sounds as if you feel there's a spiritual or mystical force working through you for your compositions. And I noticed the subtitle of your concerto is Nekudim. Does that have a spiritual connotation?
Yes, you're right in your assumption. Thank you for catching that. Nekudim actually means points, and it actually has to refer to the Hebrew alphabet. In the Hebrew alphabet, the letters are just consonants, like B, G, D. In order to give the letter any type of direction, it needs a vowel, which are notated by lines and dots, Nekudim, dots, underneath the notes. So the G becomes Ga, Gu, Ge. And the idea is that the letter itself is like a dead body. It just exists on its own, but doesn't do anything. It requires the breath to make that letter alive. And that's what's going on here in this concerto, on a spiritual sense and also in a practical sense, on a spiritual sense. The lines are written there, and I know what they sound like, but whenever they're performed by Ricardo or the Philadelphia Orchestra, suddenly they take on a light and life that I've never thought that was there, and I wrote it, which means I didn't write it, you see? Because if it could have life beyond what I thought, then it's really not mine to begin with. And on a practical sense, this is really because of Ricardo and Maestro Yannick and the Philadelphia Orchestra, because only with musicians of that caliber can the line arise and become itself.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to hear this piece. Congratulations to both of you. Best of luck. Muchas gracias y le deseo mucha suerte.
Muchas gracias. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.